1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Good evening. Very thankful to see that we have numerous ones who are visiting with us. Very thankful for your presence. Good to see each of our members as well. And looking forward to the festivities in just a few minutes after we conclude our worship service to spend some time with our seniors and celebrate with them. And so I thought it might be fitting to have a lesson. Certainly that would be applicable to them and their new phase of life, if you will. But also think about a lesson that would be for each of us, really, as we think about always abounding in the work of the Lord. There's a couple of things that I sometimes imagine. If the Apostle Paul were here right now, what is it that he might say to us? That he might encourage us, that he might pull one of us aside and say, here's something special for you that I want you to remember. Here's something that I want you to be doing. Here's something that I want you to, when you leave this place, when you leave here this afternoon or this evening, I want you to be thinking about this. I want you to be doing this. What it might be, I think we would find here in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. This idea, this continued thought of always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, whatever it is in particular that we might have by way of talent, something that we might be able to attribute to the work of the Lord, those certainly he might include in that as well. But as a summary, he might just say, we need to be faithful and continue to do the work of the Lord. I think about what he said to Timothy as we think about 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2. He says, all in things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same, in other words, what you have heard, those teachings, commit to faithful men who would be able to teach others as well. And I think that the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy is reminding Timothy of the work that he has before him, and the work that an evangelist might have would be to remind and to teach others to carry on with that faithful work and those faithful words to continue to teach them to others. And so certainly I see my role in that, and you may see yours as well. I think about Abraham Lincoln made this statement as it regards the good book. That's the reference that he gives. It says, I believe the Bible is the best gift God has ever given to man. All the good from the Savior of the world is communicated to us through this book. And so whatever it is that sitting president of the United States, to make a statement concerning the Bible and to realize all the good therein, and to realize how it changes lives and how it gives direction, that would be something that would be important for each of us, but certainly something that would be important for our graduating class as well. And so this evening I'd like to share with you just a couple of thoughts, maybe some good advice for us all. The first one is to stand strong. You know, it'd be the case that especially those who may be stepping out of their homes and going off to college, new things abound. Decisions have to be made. And now it's on you and not near as much on your parents, right? And so there has to be some accountability. And so this reminder to stand strong. Because not only are you going to have to begin to make decisions for you on your own behalf and have that personal responsibility, but it is that way even as you obeyed the gospel. You might have been reminded that you too were making a commitment unto the Lord, and that even if your parents were not in fact faithful unto the Lord, what would you do In fact, that's typically a question that I will sometimes ask those who come to me and say, I think I'm ready to be baptized. I want to be baptized into Christ. Part of the conversation that takes place would be this. Are you ready to commit yourself unto the Lord? And most of the time, you'll hear the answer, well, yes, I am. What if your parents were not there? Would you continue then to be faithful unto the Lord if your parents were not? What if the preacher were not there? What if you heard something about the preacher not being faithful? And what if you heard that the elders were no longer faithful? What if it's the case that you come into the parking lot here and you're the only one? What are you going to do? And of course, the purpose in asking a question like that is to get individuals to see the idea of commitment, what it means to commit oneself unto the Lord, and to think about those things and the seriousness of that. We have to stand strong. We're reminded by the Apostle Peter, in fact, that the devil is walking about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And then Peter would go on to explain, not only is that the case, but we have to resist him. Resist him steadfastly is the idea. He says, whom withstand steadfast in your faith, knowing that the same sufferings are accomplished in your brethren who are in the world. Now realize this. We're talking about then the devil's going about like a roaring lion. We see temptation in the world today. There is much temptation. And I think while it affects us all, certainly it affects our young people. Because what is it about our young people that would be so appealing to a roaring lion like the devil? We understand then he would prey on the young, the weaker in faith. And I don't mean to belittle any young person's faith whatsoever, but here's my point in this. You have to have your faith. He says, withstand steadfastly in your faith. You've been in your parents' home for some time. They say 18 years. That's a good round number, right? Sounds about right, parents. Somewhere in that range. 18 years. And you've been learning. Parents have been teaching you. You've been brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And all those things are wonderful and pleasing unto the Lord as they should be. And yet, we have this reminder by Peter that it's about your faith, that you have to resist the devil in your faith, not your parents' faith, in your faith. There's something about growing your own faith, and I pray that you have been developing your own faith. Stand strong in it. Be firm. Stand for the truth. However, when you stand, let me remind us all. So while you stand firm, while you stand steadfastly, stand kind and gently, but strong. You see, in our own faith, we have tremendous opportunity before us to help others learn of Christ, to help others come to a knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But sometimes, if we come across so abrasive in our own faith, in our own stand, then we lose the opportunity to teach, but rather we are pushing others away. And we want to be an example, but we want to teach the truth in love. I want you to look with me at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And with that reminder from Ephesians 4 and verse 15 of teaching the truth in love, we come to chapter 6. And I would say that in chapter 5, there are several admonitions to walk in your faith, to walk in love, to walk submitting yourselves one to another, to walk circumspectly or honestly before others. And then you get to chapter 6, when we have this, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment. Young people, you've heard that one before, right? That it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Then he goes on just a few verses later in verse 10, and it's not about then teaching the truth in love, and it's not about walking, but now it's about standing. In verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to, here it is, to stand against the wiles of the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness of this age, he says, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take the whole armor of God that you may be able to, here's our word again, withstand in the evil day, having done all to, guess what, stand. It is about standing and standing firm. And so, one of the things that I would remind us all is to stand strong. Stand strong. Resist Satan. And do so in your faith. And that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. And so we have that very plainly, and we're taught exactly what that means. Here's another piece of advice for us that we find, I think, in Scripture. Don't change. Don't change. And then I'm going to remind us in just a moment that we're going to need to change. Okay? So pay attention to this because I don't want to lose you. There are things that we cannot change and that we better not change. Hence, don't change. Don't change the worship. That has been outlined in Scripture. We have book, chapter, verse for how we need to worship God, for the acts of worship. We can't change that. We have no right. We have no authority. That is God ordained. But don't change that. Don't change the doctrine. Don't change the teaching. The teaching of the gospel. Again, it is right here. We can go to it and we can know. And, by the way, if we all follow it, then we can all be the same, right? How wonderful would that be to see a world that was brought together in such unity and harmony all by one doctrine. One doctrine. One faith. The Apostle Paul would say in Ephesians chapter 4, one faith. The plan of salvation, you can't change that. Our Lord died on the cross to bring about a plan of salvation. We have no right to change that. We have no authority to change that. And if we do change that, if we were to change that in some way, would we want to be held responsible for causing someone to miss heaven because we changed the way into heaven? That would be like going down the highway and changing all the signs out, pointing into some other direction, putting some other sign up that says, instead of 411, this is 321, and then people are going to be all confused, right? You cannot change the plan of salvation. You can't change the Bible. In fact, we have Proverbs 30 and verse 5 reminds us every word of God, every word is pure. Do not add to it. We could go then to the front of the Bible, Deuteronomy 4 and verse 2. Don't add to, don't diminish from it. We could go to the close of the Bible and see the same thing. Do not add to or take away. Why? Because every word is pure. The wise man said, don't change it. Critics will try to change things that are simple, especially. What do we see in the Bible? We see a simple plan of worship. We see a simple doctrine, a simple plan of salvation. And yet critics always want to change it. But there are some things that we can change. We can change our lives to be like it. And as we continue to grow, we continue to realize that there are areas that I was weak, or maybe that I was just unaware of, that I need to change. And so I can change myself then to be patterned after Scripture. I can look into the perfect law of liberty and know that I need to make changes in my life. Never let your heart get to the point where you cannot change. And so while there are things that we cannot change and that we better not change, we can change the way we look unto God by following His Word. Number three, give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. You know, sometimes we even think there's much to do. There's work on every hand, right? There is a lot to be done. There's a lot of work to be done in this location and wherever you may end up sometime in the future. There is always the work of the Lord. And I would suggest that we give ourselves wholly unto it. We give ourselves fully to the work. All are needed to help. I'm not sure where we got it in our mind somewhere in the long ago, somewhere down the road. We thought, well, you know, we have a preacher, and he does that type of work anyway, so we're going to let him do it. And, you know, we have elders to do those things and to lead in that way. We'll just let them do that. We have deacons over certain areas, and we'll let them do that. But all are needed when it comes to the work of the Lord. And I cannot press that enough to us. Here's the idea. Because there is much to do, and all are needed to help, this idea of working together also encapsulates an idea that the Bible talks about called fellowship, where we participate jointly together in doing the work. Because we are part of the body of Christ, because we are part of a family, because we are part of the Lord's church, the Lord's kingdom, the Lord's work right here at Eastside. And the picture that is given, the Apostle Paul would write to the Corinthians, and he says, we're workers together with God. He would even explain that there are others who have come along and done work. I did work. Others have come along and worked on top of that. And yet God gives the increase. We work together and together with God. We share the load. And let me say this. Young people, don't fall into the trap of, well, I'm in school. I'm in college. You know, what comes next is, well, I'm in my job. I have a job now. I'm in my career field, right? I'm busy, no doubt. And you're going to be busy at school. And you're going to be busy in your career field. And that's about the same time that typically you start in family. I've got my family to take care of. And we've got things that we have to do. And absolutely, you'll have all those responsibilities and more. And yet the Bible very clearly teaches us. Jesus Himself said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6 and verse 33. Give yourself fully unto the work. And here's why. Work will not be wasted. This is what our main passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians 15 reminds us about. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable or immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your work in the Lord is not in vain. It's not useless. And then we have passages like Isaiah 55 and verse 11, where God says, "So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing wherein I sent it." That's the idea. The work of the Lord, it's that important. But God has said, my word goes forward. It's not going to return void. It's not useless. If we are part of it and we're speaking it, we're teaching it to others, we're living it every day in our life faithfully unto the Lord, that's not in vain. That's not useless. And that's not the extra. That's the good stuff. That's what it's about. And that helps us maintain our focus. It helps us to maintain our purpose and our goals in life. We can see them clearly because we've put God's work and His Word, His kingdom, ahead of everything else. There come a time when you have to decide, is it that important? 1 Thessalonians 1 and verses 2 and 3, Paul writes, "We give thanks unto God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father." 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 2 and 3. Those verses remind me that when Paul thought about the church at Thessalonica, he says, there are things that, he says, I'm praying for you and you need to know that. I remember, he says, the work that you're doing, I remember the patience that you have and the love that you have. And yet, you know what he'll go on to teach them? Abound even more. He'll say, that you have no need that I write unto you about love, but so that you will abound more and more and more. What's the idea? If we ever stop, then we're not faithful. If we take a break for a little while, that's not being faithful. Give yourself fully, because our work in the Lord is not in vain. In fact, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 9, it reminds us this. About this work, he says, "Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to Him." Why? Because we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account the things done in the body, whether they are good or bad. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 9 and 10. But he says, whether we're present or whether we're absent. Paul will write very similarly to the church at Philippi and talk about those very same things. And to them, he would say, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And that's after he says, whether we are present with you or whether we're absent. And so a lesson for us all, but certainly a lesson to our graduating seniors. Whether present here with us, even with your parents, or somewhere else even without. There is work to be done, and the Lord's work will not be wasted. Work together. Share the work. Remember what your parents have taught you. Remember what you've learned right here at Vacation Bible Schools, at every Lord's Day worship where the gospel is certainly preached. Learn those lessons. Commit them to memory. And live them every day of your life. Now, it may not seem like much, but this is good advice for all of us, not just our seniors. It may seem like just 4 points that the preacher put together so he'd have something to say. But I want you to know that it's much more than that. Your preacher didn't grow up in the Lord's church. But he met a young lady who helped him find the church, who helped him find the Lord. And you have a family here that loves you, and you've been blessed to grow up here, many of you, and to grow up in Christian homes. Don't take it for granted. Apply the lessons and be faithful. Continue to do the work. One of my heroes, Brother Tom Holland, passed away this past week. Some of you will have heard that name before and know very well the 70 plus years of preaching the gospel that Brother Holland did. What an outstanding gospel preacher. But you know, one of the lessons that I remember hearing from him when I was a young preacher, it's not about being a name. It's about being a Christian. It's not about being a pulpiteer. It's about living the gospel every day. I saw an article, I heard several brethren make comments all this past week about Brother Holland. And it reminds me of the old country song, "Who's Going to Fill Their Shoes?" There are those who have gone on before us. One day we'll be gone, and it'll be you to carry the load. Help teach others so they'll be right there beside you. Help lead the way, and the Lord will help you and bless you, as we talked about this morning in our lesson. This evening, as we close, we think about the gospel of our Lord. We think about what He has done for us, to send His only begotten Son to die on our behalf, to shed His blood that we might have the forgiveness of sins. And we can respond properly to that by our belief in Him as the Son of God, John 8:24. Being willing to turn away from the practice of sin in our lives. Luke 13 and verse 3. In verse 5, he repeats it. I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. We are reminded then to confess Him. Confess Him as the Son of God, that He would confess us before the Father in heaven. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. And to be baptized to wash away our sins. Acts 22, verse 16. Have you taken those steps to obey the gospel and put on Christ in baptism? If not, this invitation will be for you. You'll have opportunity to respond. Maybe it's the case there's one this evening who needs to respond by way of repentance, who has obeyed the gospel but needs to change, not been living faithful. If we can encourage you in some way, if we can help you, we're going to stand and sing this song as a note of encouragement to you. Let's stand together and sing.